Welcome to Packet Pushers, the data networking podcast where engineers get together to talk about networking. Today, the virtual boardroom's been instantiated in a well-ventilated space with free coffee, comfortable chairs, and an unquenchable thirst, as always, for all things networking. Wow, our virtual boardroom is full of technical discussions, virtual whiteboards, and nerdy conversations are absolutely a requirement. Today's show, we're talking about a Nexus 1000V for the Microsoft Hyper-V platform. And the show is sponsored by Cisco. And we say thanks to them for supporting us and bringing a nerdy topic to the very fore. I'd like to go around the table and introduce our guest today. First of all, Apaji, please tell people who you are and what you're doing.
Hey, thanks, Greg. My name is Apaji Malla. I'm one of the product managers on the Nexus 1000V team. And I'm primarily responsible for the Hyper-V version.
Excellent. Now, we haven't heard a lot about Hyper-V, so I'm interested to hear what you're doing there, because I'll be plainly honest, I've done nothing with Hyper-V in the last 5 years, so this is going to be a real eye-opener for me. And also with us today is Balaji Siva. Balaji, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Balaji Siva. I run the product management team for the Nexus 1000V and the AVS that we recently launched.
Thanks very much for joining us today. So as we said, we're talking about the Nexus 1000V and the Microsoft Hyper-V platform. Many people might know that the Nexus 1000V is a multi-platform virtual switch. I guess the first question, Apaji, to throw to you is how does the Nexus 1000V work with Microsoft? How is the Cisco and Microsoft partnership looking?
So we've been working with Microsoft for the past 3 years, Greg. So we've been working with two specific teams within Microsoft, Windows Server 2012 and the System Center Virtual Machine Manager teams. There are two different components, the management component and the operating system, where Nexus 1000 we has to integrate. And we've been working closely with them on both fronts. In addition to the Nexus 1000V, there is a broader data center group. From a data center group perspective, we have closer collaboration with Microsoft as well. If you look at UCS, UCS is certified for the Windows Server 2012 as well as R2. Mm-hmm. And we also have tighter integrations with UCS and the System Center set of products. Like SCOM, we have management plugins, integration packs for SCO, the System Center Orchestrator, System Center Operations Manager, and SCVMM plugins for UCS. So we are trying to create a strong ecosystem for Microsoft Server, Microsoft Windows Server.
So what I'm hearing there, if I was the customer sitting on the other side of that table there, is that Cisco's not just doing one thing. Cisco's in for the whole Hyper-V story. You're integrated with the management engine, SCOM.
SCVMM.
Yeah. You're also integrated in the Hyper-V in the kernel as well with the Nexus 1000V.
That's correct, Dave. Yes.
Uh-huh. I think I want to add one more thing is that, you know, I think we are seeing increasing customers requests for Hyper-V. I think we have obviously shipped for a while on VMware, right, you know, almost 5 years coming up soon. Mm-hmm. And we have seen increasing requests for a customer who wants to try Hyper-V. And that's sort of the why sort of the relationship kind of started in the first place. I think if you look at the Gartner data, I believe the 42% of customers are running multiple hypervisors. That means, you know, VMware plus something, right? Could be OVS or could be KVM or could be Hyper-V. So,
well, many people have a multi-vendor strategy these days to mitigate strategic risk. And Hyper-V, of course, is a key platform. It comes from a well-known and trusted supplier for many companies. So it makes perfect sense for people to do so. You know, it comes back to the Cisco and Microsoft hasn't just joined at Hyper-V. They're joined at multiple levels is what we're saying here.
We're creating a lot of Cisco validated design guides. Hmm. For example, if you want to deploy a Microsoft private cloud solution with UCS, with Nexus 1000V and Windows Server 2012 and SCVMM, you can look at the Cisco validated design guide. We tested, validated these designs, and we're publishing these on cisco.com. Similarly, if you want to deploy a VDI environment on a Windows Server platform, you can do that using our CVDs. We also have certified deployment models around SQL Server, SharePoint, Exchange, etc. on UCS. So, I mean, the partnership is at multiple levels. It's not just specific to Nexus 1000V, but we have been working with Microsoft over the past 3 years from the Nexus 1000V team on creating this particular product.
Yeah, so it's a long-term strategic relationship with Microsoft, and it's not just the result of a change in the last few months because, you know, the business situation's changed as well.
That's correct, Greg, yes.
Yeah, some people might mistake the two and think, oh, well, this is, you know, but no, this has been a long-standing relationship that's gone on. We've spoken before on the Nexus 1000V and Microsoft, and perhaps we should make a link back to that show to see the difference between, you know, the progression over time. I guess the next thing to talk about is, what is the architecture of the Nexus 1000V in Hyper-V? How does it technically fit into the Hyper-V stack? What are the features there?
If you look at the Nexus 1000V architecture, it's the same across both ESX and Hyper-V. If you're familiar with the Nexus 1000V architecture, there are two components. The virtual Ethernet module, which sits as a driver on each and every physical host inside the hypervisor. The other component is VSM, the virtual supervisor module. And this is a virtual appliance that manages these multiple VMs. It's deployed as a VM. The virtual machine on any hypervisor host, in this specific case, Hyper-V. So the architecture and the components, the set of components that you need are the same. Just that we leverage some of the architectural models from that came out with Windows Server 2012 R2. So if you look at the Windows Server 2012, they came up with multiple things, especially around networking. Hmm. On the Hyper-V front, they came up with something called Hyper-V Extensibles framework. You can, as an independent software vendors, can actually extend the functionality of the native switch, and they allow forwarding extension, a capture extension, and a filtering extension. So if you look at the Nexus 1000V architecture, VEM goes into this extensible switch framework as a forwarding extension. Even though it sits as a forwarding extension, it actually does the job of all the three extensions. So this VEM is deployed on each and every physical host running Hyper-V, and it goes in as an NDS driver inside the Hyper-V's extensible switch framework. The other component, the VSM, or the virtual supervisor module, it can be deployed as a VM on any Hyper-V host, and it's tightly integrated with the System Center Virtual Machine Manager. So whenever you configure things, you make changes on VSM, it automatically gets propagated to SCVMM. And also when something happens on SCVMM, we proactively push that information back to VSM. So there's an active data sync between these two.
So that means that the server administrator and the network administrator are operating in sync. When the network engineer goes down to the VSM, makes a configuration change, that's reflected in the SCOM configuration. So the server guy sees the network change that the networking engineer has implemented. And vice versa, if the networking engineer is presenting data about the server down to the VSM so that there's cooperation going on between the two points.
Yes, Greg. So the VSM, the whatever you configure on VSM is automatically pushed to the System Center Virtual Machine Manager. So the server admin can reuse those definitions when they create VMs or create tenants or create any clouds, etc. So that's actually a lot of our customers really like that aspect, because we provide one unified operational model across physical and virtual. And not just virtual, but across hypervisors, right? It's the same operational model where you can define same set of policies across all your across one network.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out that the Nexus 1000V with the virtual switch module, which is the central point to manage all of the Nexus 1000V agents, that one manager works for Microsoft. But as you said earlier, there are multiple hypervisors in this world, not just Hyper-V. So the VSM can talk to the Nexus 1000Vs in the other platforms, be it Linux KVM or ESXi, for example. And that's a great feature that, from the networking point of view, to have a single point of visibility of the virtual switches, you know, which are part of the network after all.
So, Apanji, you went through a whole lot of details about the Nexus 1000V and how it fits into a Hyper-V environment. But I was thinking with all the details that were there, it might be kind of fun to do a quick packet walk. And what I mean by that, if there's a virtual machine sitting on top of a Hyper-V, walk through what happens when that host generates a packet. How does it get from the VM down into the virtual switch and eventually out to the physical network. We don't have to go super detailed, but just kind of at a high level might help everybody get in their heads what you talked through.
Sure, Ethan. So if you look at a VM, let's say a VM is generating a packet. It's talking to some other VM on a different host. It generates a packet, generates an Ethernet a packet, right? And that Ethernet packet is handed over by the VM to the parent OS. Sitting, maybe I'm going into too much detail here, but it basically goes to the parent OS or the Windows Server 2012, which hands it over to the native switch. Native switch intercepts it and then sends it to the forwarding extension. That's the Nexus 1000V. And Nexus 1000V then processes the packet, looks at all the policies, whether it be ACLs, whether it be QoS, whether it be any other network monitoring, and all those aspects. It makes sure that it filters through all those different things and then sends it to the extensible switch. And the extensible switch, again, then puts it on the physical network.
And the extensible switch, just for clarification here, that is the Microsoft switch that we have extended as Cisco with the 1000V. Do I understand that about right?
That's correct, Ethan. So if you look at the ESX model, for example, Nexus 1000V actually replaces the native switch. Whereas in the case of Hyper-V, we actually extend the functionality of the native switch.
Got it. So maybe the next logical question to go through then, some of it we've already talked about a little bit, but if I'm a customer who's using Hyper-V, I've got a vSwitch that's there already. What are all the compelling reasons why I would want to move over to the Nexus 1000V? Now, some of what you've talked about is already plain. You get, if you're using Nexus 1000V everywhere across your infrastructure, no matter what Hyper-Vs you might be using, you can manage all of that uniformly, et cetera. So that's obviously a good sell point, but what other compelling reasons are there?
So there are multiple compelling reasons why current customers are using Nexus 1000V, Ethan. So some customers, for example, a financial firm in Asia-Pac right now, they are deploying Nexus 1000V for Hyper-V in their private cloud deployment. They primarily like the security architecture that we have, the level at which you can set ACLs on the network traffic. So the advanced feature set that we bring to the table in terms of the NXOS, some customers really like that. And they are familiar with the Nexus OS running on 5Ks, 2Ks, or 7Ks, and they are familiar with all the capabilities that are available. And as you know, NXOS is purpose-built for data center environments, and that really fits. And we're bringing that data center's highly available architecture to the Hyper-V environments. Some customers like the services platform. Already multiple customers deployed in their private cloud environments, secure containers. If you want, a secure virtualization environment, you need a virtual firewall. And we bring a VSG, or the virtual security gateway, to the Hyper-V environments. And that's feasible primarily because we have a very innovative services architecture, something called VPath, which allows us to extend multiple services to the Hyper-V architecture. So right now, a virtual firewall is available, a monitoring device, NAM is available. And going forward, we want to bring quite a number of other services, like load balancers, like web application firewalls, onto the Nexus 1000V for Hyper-V. So that's very important for some customers that are looking at building public clouds, where they want to secure different tenant environments. And some, for example, one customer in Europe, they are building private cloud with mixed hypervisors. They have ESX clusters and they have Hyper-V clusters, and they want to create a private cloud out of this. They don't want to deal with the complexities of a different operational for physical, different operational for ESX, and different operational model for Hyper-V. They wanted a unified or simplified operational model across these three environments. Some customers, that's a very, very important reason. So that's the reason why they want to deploy Nexus 1000V. And the most importantly, we are very tightly, like you mentioned earlier, right? So we are tightly integrated, not at the operating system level, at the management level as well. So it's a simpler operational model overall. So those are the important, compelling reasons why customers are deploying. One, the advanced feature set that we bring to the table with NXOS, and then the services architecture and the consistent operational model across different environments, whether it be physical, ESX, or Hyper-V, and going forward across KVM.
You know, logistically, there's a good case that you're building here for running Nexus 1000V on Hyper-V. I'm kind of curious to hear specific use cases. What situations have people been in, customers been in, and then decided 1000V is gonna resolve this issue for me or give me this functionality that I need?
We have multiple use cases in server virtualization use case. For example, we have a set of servers that we want to run Hyper-V on. Now I want virtual networking on that. So we have a lot of customers doing that. And of course, private cloud use cases where customers primarily building a private cloud with a CVMM and they want an enterprise class network for their private cloud, and then they're deploying Nexus 1000V. And in some cases, it's mixed hypervisor environments where a customer is planning to try out different environments, and then that's when Nexus 1000V is very critical from normalizing the operational model. In some cases, customers, they're deploying N1KV to future-proof their application architecture. It's possible at a future point in time they want to change something about their applications, whether it be the hypervisor, whether it be something else. They don't want to change the network architecture. So that's very compelling for them. Even if they're trying out only one hypervisor at this particular point in time, they want to try out N1KV because it future-proofs their network architecture. So multiple use cases, whether it be just pure server virtualization use cases or private cloud use case or public cloud use case, we have a lot of customers trying it out, and some customers are trying out VDI. We're currently talking to one customer in Florida that's trying out this application on VDI, right? And we have strong customers across the board in different geographies, Asia-Pac, EMEA. It's across the board, we're finding a lot of customers using it for a wide variety of reasons.
To add a little bit more to it, I think we have released it in June of this year. I'm sorry. So we have more than 2,000 customers who are in various stages of deployment. Either they're evaluating it, or they are in production or pre-production, and those kind of things. So the number of use cases are fairly widespread.
And now a lot of the use cases that you were talking about were cloud scenarios. A lot of folks you mentioned either public cloud or private cloud, bigger shops, lots of virtualization going on. And now when I think of those environments and talk to the folks that work in those environments, the big thing we're hearing about is automation. We're hearing a lot about, we want to be able to script everything. We want to be able to have provisioning of the network be automatic or in lockstep with a larger process where we're spinning up new virtual machines, et cetera. Now, I know a little bit about the 1KV in that respect, and I know there's programmability that's there. Talk about folks that are really heavily invested in Hyper-V. How can they integrate the Nexus 1000V into whatever kind of a DevOps or automation architecture that they may have already built?
Overall, at the platform level, right? So for Nexus 1000V, we are supporting REST APIs on the Nexus 1000V, as long as your scripting language supports REST, you can incorporate these commands to manage your Nexus 1000V. So in addition, specifically for Hyper-V, given the feedback that we got so far from a lot of our customers, we also developed a very strong library of PowerShell commands. So we're creating a library of PowerShell commands that can be used to automate some of the functionality associated with the Nexus 1000V. So we expose quite a number of objects. For example, if you want to create a logical network or a network site, or you want to read a port profile, or you want to update an IP pool, all of these objects can be directly accessed through these PowerShell commands. And we published this particular PowerShell library on the CDN, Cisco Developer Network. That's one area where we are focusing. We want to make sure the platform is highly programmable. And on the other end, we have, like I mentioned earlier, we have very tighter integrations with the CVMM. So you can manage the Nexus 1000V. You have a lot of visibility into a CVMM on what's happening on Nexus 1000V.
What about deployment of the Nexus 1000V? Is that so? SCVMM does actually automate the deployment of the servers and the VMs themselves. It's able to manage the deployment of the Nexus 1000V and, you know, the configuration of it just automatically. And I know that people in Microsoft land do an awful lot of PowerShell. I don't quite understand it myself, but that sort of functionality is in place.
Two questions, Greg. I think you're asking about whether SCVMM can be used to deploy Nexus 1000V. And the second question is about the elements of how PowerShell can be used to automate Nexus 1000V, right? So the first question, SCVMM to install Nexus 1000V. If you look at Nexus 1000V, like I mentioned earlier, there are two components, right? VSM and the VM. Yes, I mean, the SCVMM can be used to deploy VSM through the template files that the SCVMM supports. You can bring up the VSM with very little effort using the template libraries that SCVMM provides. And then on the VM, as long as it's part of the logical switch, SCVMM automatically, I'm throwing in too many words here. I mean, logical switch is a construct in SCVMM.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it allows
you to... It's very hard not to, you know, drop into lingo here because there's a lot of moving parts here, right? And at this point, if you're listening along, I do highly recommend you go to the Cisco Validated Design. So Apogee referred to the CVDs a little bit earlier in the show. The Cisco Validated Designs are an outstanding resource that Cisco does better than anybody else. It's typically a 50 to 100 page manual on the sort of design thinking that you need to go through to understand how the product fits into your network and how it needs to be deployed, and goes right the way through screenshots of clicking through how you would do a fairly standardized deployment. If you're sort of getting lost with this verbal discussion here, just try and take in the big picture items here of, you know, the VM is the central configuration point. It's conceptually like a supervisor engine in a 6500. And the Nexus 1000V acts like a line card in a way, in a chassis. And so they go together like that. But it's explained more in the Cisco Validated Designs, and there'll be links in the show notes that Apogee will provide for us that should link you directly to those so that you'll know how to find them and how to get more into the decode the buzzwords we're throwing around here with great abandon.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's very tough to get out of the lingo when you're talking about some of these concepts. And to answer your question, right? Yes, it can be done. And with the deployment of Nexus 1000 with SCVMM, we are tightly integrated, and SCVMM takes care of deployment of both VSM as well as VM to some extent. And then also from the upgrade process, we are integrated with WSUS, or the Windows Services Update Manager.
Okay.
Update service.
Right.
So it's a lot more simpler to deploy Nexus 1000 in Hyper-V. And the second question, PowerShell commandlets. Yeah, a lot of customers, they really like the other commands that we introduced on N1KV. They're available on a CDN. And the good thing is they can use the existing PowerShell commandlets, and then they can build on top of it. They can write scripts like any other scripting language, right? You can actually build on top of what we already did, and you can publish it to the general community.
So that should spell it out for the people that there's a vision here going forward into the future. It's not going to be, you know, there's not an end to the line. There's a convergence going on over time that, and a strategy for having all things for all people. I mean, that's one of the things that I've always known about Cisco is they have a solution for everybody. They don't just have a solution. Yeah. They have lots of solutions.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you look at it, we have to be realistic about, you know, our install base, right? And we have quite a massive install base of Catalyst and the Nexus products, and that need virtual networking, right? And we need this private cloud solution that Apogee talked about. They still want to do that. I think we definitely want to provide that solutions for them. We will continue to invest in the Nexus 1000 family because we feel that this is an absolute choice we need to provide. And at the same time, for ACI, we wanted to kind of make it a more custom or perfect built for that, so that we can provide the kind of the consistent policy models with the virtual and physical, and provide full visibility through the APIC, which is a policy infrastructure controller. We wanted to optimize for that. I think we think that we are doing the right thing for the customers, whichever they choose to do deploy.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap for this week. And thanks to the Cisco 1000V team for sponsoring today's show and talking to us about the Nexus 1000V on the Microsoft Hyper-V platform. And, of course, thanks for listening to the Packet Pushers. We should be back again in about a week or so, so make sure you come back. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us today. Apogee, where can people find you on the internet?
My Twitter handle is Amalla. Please do tweet, use that name, A-M-A-L-L-A.
So people can follow me at Balaji Siva at Twitter.
And what we'll do is I'll get you guys to email me those and find those in the show notes. We'll have links away to the CVDs. The Cisco Validated Designs, are dropping back into lingo there, where you can click and go and get access to those designs and also more information, links on Cisco's website on how to find out more about the next 1000V. Of course, I'm Greg Farrow. You can find me on my blog at etherealmind.com or on the Twitter as etherealmind. And also with me today was Ethan Banks. You can find him on his website at ethancbanks.com and on the Twitter as at ecbanks. We'd love to hear your feedback about today's show. So send emails to thepacketpushers at gmail.com and let us know what you are thinking. Alternatively, check out the website at packetpushers.net to leave comments or follow us on Twitter as at packetpushers. And as always, remember that too much networking would never be enough.